Hello and welcome to Paranormal or What podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Ford. Welcome. Why don't you come in? Sit down. Take off your shoes. Help yourself to a drink and make yourself comfortable. We've got some good stories for you tonight, everyone. Today, we're going to be talking about vanishing objects. So, get ready. Hold on to your wallet, fasten down your hairbrush, keep hold of your precious jewels. Let's find out who or what is responsible for those disappearing items. Here are two of my most important vanishing item episodes. In fact, I believe that these are the episodes where I actually caught out the entity responsible for removing my things. See what you think. Sunday, 4th of October, 2020. I have a benign entity in my house. I don't know whether it came with the house or followed me here. Once, many years ago, I was told by a psychic that I'm guided by the spirit of my great-grandmother Josephine, whose photograph I have in my living room, right in front of me now, and who I talk to on a regular basis. She never answers, just sits there looking at me kindly. Sometimes I imagine that her expression changes depending on what I ask her. On occasion, I swear I've seen her wink. Anyway, I digress. This benign entity tricks me and helps me in equal measure. I don't know whether it is my relative or something else in the house. Sometimes, if I've lost something, I'll call out and ask it to help me to find it. Sure enough, sometime later, I find it randomly, or it will appear in a place I've already looked. Mostly. We never found my husband's share certificates and ended up having to order new ones, so it didn't work that time. Sometimes, though, things disappear right from under my nose and reappear in the exact same place after I've turned the house upside down looking for them. In fact, it also happened to my husband this week when he put down his vapour on the table, walked away, came back to get it, it wasn't there. He then went searching around the house, came back, and it was on the table. And he said, "That wasn't there when I looked earlier. It absolutely wasn't there." But I don't know whether he's coming round to my way of thinking or not. He's definitely a sceptic, but I did sense a bit of a wobble in his belief there. So, anyway, here are two instances that spring to mind where I have absolutely caught out the entity that has been taking things and hiding them. So, the first one is the case of the missing slippers. Now, this really freaked me out. Okay, are you ready? It was during the day and I was getting ready to go out. I took off my slippers in the bedroom and then went for a shower. Afterwards, I walked back into the bedroom and went to put my slippers on as I needed to get something from downstairs. They weren't there. Now, what usually happens in this situation is that I immediately presume that I've mislaid the item I can't find. This time was no different. I marched to and from the bathroom several times looking for my slippers. Then, starting to doubt my sanity, I looked in the other two bedrooms and even went downstairs to look for them. Still no sign of them. By now I was pretty annoyed with myself, I was grumbling and mumbling to myself about how it was ridiculous to lose a pair of slippers when you've only just had them on. Finally, I stamped backwards and forwards between the bathroom again. And when I got to my bedroom, I was shouting out to the ether to please help me find my slippers. On my next frantic journey back from the bathroom towards the bedroom, I spotted something that took my breath away. I stopped dead in my tracks. There, in the doorway of my bedroom, perfectly placed next to each other, were my slippers. Where did they come from? It would have been physically impossible for me to walk over them a dozen times and not notice them or not accidentally kick them over. They hadn't been there. And yet here they were, right in front of me. I shouted, "Thank you," and stood perplexed for a very long time. Was I losing my mind? Despite knowing that they hadn't been in the doorway, I still doubted myself. Could I have been wrong? Could I have walked over them all those times? However, the next vanishing item incident, I had no doubt whatsoever that I was right. Which leads us to case two. The case of the missing face cloth. For any of our friends in the USA, British people often use a small toweling cloth to wash their faces, which we imaginatively call a face cloth. I don't know if you have such a thing in the USA, so I thought it would be best to explain in order to avoid any confusion. On this particular day, I had taken out a clean face cloth from the laundry cupboard and put it on the side of the bathroom sink for use later. Next to the bathroom sink is the family wash basket, which has a wicker lid. I describe these seemingly banal details because they're important to the story. The thing I've noticed about these vanishing items cases is that they usually happen when you're not really taking notice of the things you end up losing. A dropped set of keys here, a pair of slippers there. So when the item goes missing, you either blame yourself for misplacing them or simply think you've forgotten where you put them. Therefore, you're never entirely sure whether it's your fault or something else playing tricks on you. This time though, I knew it wasn't me. So, imagine the scenario. I walk into the bathroom and see the face cloth on the side of the sink. I use the lavatory and go to wash my hands. The face cloth is no longer on the side of the sink. I'm puzzled. I look all around the sink, on the floor, and on the top of the wash basket. I know it was there. Convinced it must be nearby, I then pull out the wash basket and check behind it, and finally empty out the wash basket, convinced the face cloth must have accidentally fallen into it. Still no face cloth. Feeling very confused and beginning to doubt my sanity, as usual, I turn and walk across the bathroom, open the laundry cupboard, and take out another clean face cloth. I shut the cupboard door, turn around, and look in disbelief. The face cloth is back on the sink. There, folded up, where it was, innocuous and minding its own business, as if nothing had happened. Initially, I'm speechless. Then, jubilant. "Aha!" I shouted. "I caught you! I know that face cloth wasn't there. I know it for a fact. You're rumbled." I may have looked like a raving madwoman, but I was so excited to have proof that it disappeared and came back. This time, there was absolute proof. I knew it was there, Then it wasn't there. I turned round, came back, and then it reappeared. I have no explanation for this phenomena. All I know is that it's intelligent and it does these things on purpose. If it was a glitch in time, surely more than a simple face cloth would move. Possibly a whole room or a whole scene, not just one item within a house. Where does it go? Does it go into a different dimension? A different universe? A parallel universe? Just disappears? The atoms are spread out and then rebuilt? I don't know. What do you think? Something feels like it's playing tricks on me. Maybe my ancestor? A friendly spirit? A fairy? An elf? I don't know, but something's happening. And I know because I caught it out. I saw what happened. I didn't doubt myself. But what is it? Do you have an explanation? Here we have some stories of vanishing objects from reddit.com. This one was posted 2 months ago by Victim80. This has happened twice to me so far. The first time I had been eating in my bedroom. I was carrying the plate to the kitchen, but the fork slid off the plate and had fallen on the floor. I put the plate in the sink and bent down to get the fork, only to discover nothing there, even though I distinctly heard it hit the floor. The second time an object vanished, I was filling out paperwork and had dropped the ink pen. I felt it bounce off my foot, but again, when I went to pick it up, there wasn't anything on the floor. This one in the subreddit Off My Chest, posted by You Are a Loser. So guys, this is the second time my $2 have disappeared from my pocket. The first, I was at a bus stop and I was getting ready to go on the bus. I placed $2.24 in my pocket and was waiting for the bus. When I got on the bus, my $2 were gone. And I immediately thought someone pickpocketed me because my pockets are deep and there's just no way they would have fallen out unless I was moving around crazy, which I wasn't. The 25 cents was still there. Moving on to today, I put $2 in my pocket again to prepare for the bus. And you guys know the drill. The $2 are not in my pocket anymore. Only the 25 cents. I looked everywhere for the money. I'm getting really worried now. I don't know if I'm going insane. This one is on the subreddit Paranormal, posted by Laura3838. Okay, so I've had my share of Matrix and paranormal experience, and I'm not sure where this one fits in, because for me, I've been assuming for a while it's a spiritual problem and a dark entity. However, the only things that happen are every few months or so, an object will vanish in an impossible way, and then reappear in a place you've looked 5 times already. And sometimes I wake up feeling like I've been hit in the night with a bruise or a knot, especially on the head. It's usually always on the head. So today I had my phone in my car playing music. I always unplug it and put it in my purse, and I walked straight back to my bedroom and set my stuff down on my bed. Then my phone was nowhere to be found. Eventually, after 1 or 2 trips out to the car to search and tossing everything on and off my bed 5 times and looking under the furniture, I said, "Look, today's my son's birthday and that phone is the only way I have to reach him for his visit with me, and this isn't funny." And less than 2 minutes later, it reappeared on my bed in front of me, where I'd already looked 6 times. You can always tell it's something messing with you because they'll place the object straight up and down and at a perfect right angle. This has happened to me all the way back to 2008. I searched the house that it first happened to me in, and then saged it. I just wanted to know if anyone has any recommendations on how to get rid of vanishing objects, because it's a major annoyance and unnerving. What does it?
Well, I'm with you there, Laura. I've noticed as well that things are always perfectly placed when you go back to find them, like my slippers were in the doorway and like the face cloth was in the bathroom. It is almost as if the entity is saying, na 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 na, here it is. As if it's telling you it's a really obvious place and that you must have been able to see it in the first place. But actually, no, I'm just messing with you and here it is. Why does that happen? That makes you think that it is something that has intelligence and that is doing it just to wind you up. It's really, really weird and infuriating. Has that happened to you?
This next Reddit has had the name deleted, but it's really interesting. I was given a free watch as a free gift once. This watch had a small clip so that it could be attached to either a book bag or the belt loop of pants. However, I kept the watch in my right front pants pocket so it wouldn't hit against anything and break. I used the watch at work to help me determine when I could punch for break and punch out and go home. One day, I went to work very early, and after several minutes of walking around, I took my watch out of my pocket and saw that I still had some time left before I had to punch in. After walking around a little longer, I reached into my pocket and felt nothing. My watch was gone. I turned out my pocket and saw that there was no hole, so it couldn't have fallen out. It was simply gone. When I got back home after work and opened the door to my bedroom, on my dresser was my watch. Before anyone says, no, I didn't leave my watch on my dresser and simply thought I took it with me, I did take it with me. How it got from my pants pocket to my dresser at home, I don't know, but I'm glad I got it back. This final subreddit is from Glitch in the Matrix, and it was posted by ReachingOut89. Two things happened recently, and it's messing with my wife and I. Although minor, I didn't think much of it until I stumbled on here. So, 2 weeks ago, we ran out of paprika. Straight up empty bottle. We didn't have any in the back or hidden in our pantry. We did our groceries that weekend and bought a little container of paprika. We started putting our stuff away, and what's in the very front of our pantry? A new container of paprika. We laughed and were confused and like, oh boy, how did we miss that? But then the same thing happened this week. My wife wanted to try a new recipe that called for red wine vinegar. We never bought red wine vinegar in the 5+ years we've been married. Not by accident, never. So we do our groceries, buy a bottle of red wine vinegar and head home, put our stuff away, and what do we suddenly have in our pantry? An unopened bottle of red wine vinegar that conveniently has the date March 2021 on it. I don't know if this is a glitch, but I definitely can't explain how this happened. The red wine vinegar situation freaked us out a bit. Thought I'd share it. Gosh, well, that is some sort of entity that's got a sense of humour, isn't it? I presume you weren't confusing it with the one that you've just bought. Because that would just be crazy, wouldn't it? But that's very strange. Maybe the entity thought, I'm going to mess with your head and give you another one. It happens all the time to people. I love these stories. But what's happening? Some sort of inanimate reproduction? And is the item then missing from somewhere else? Or is a new one just being created out of thin air? Has anybody got a story about something being moved from somewhere and actually being noticed as being missing from the original place by someone else?
and appeared in the place that you are. So are they being transported? Or are they being made anew? Let me know. A few months ago, while listening to one of my favourite paranormal podcasts, Weird Darkness from the USA, the host of the show, Darren Marlowe, did a piece about vanishing objects. And in that piece, he recommended a book that had been written by a lady called Mary Rose Barrington. And the name of the book is Jot, J-O-T-T. Which means just one of those things. And she has extensively looked into this phenomena, so I'm going to read now some of her thoughts on the matter and some of her most interesting cases. I recommend that you buy the book. It's fabulous. Jot by Mary Rose Barrington. Thank you, Darren. AOD left her gold locket and chain on her desk overnight. The next day, it was gone. I carried out an extensive search to no avail, she reports. Then, 3 years later, she says, my son took his washing out of the machine and lo and behold, the locket and chain was on top of his clothes. This is a book about things that come and go in ways that are incompatible with the world as we know it, or as we know it most of the time. Common articles are suddenly not in the place where they ought to be, and they reappear in places where they ought not to be, including the place where they ought to have been all the time. This disorderly behaviour is known as jot. Just one of those things. Some straying items are missing for a few days, hours or minutes. Others absent themselves for years, as did the locket that was found on top of the washing. Who has not had the floor swallow a dropped object instantly? Anyone who denies the experience may have had it and forgotten all about it, because unexplained little incidents tend to get wiped from the memory quickly before they can get under the skin and disturb the mental equilibrium. There is an undeniably farcical side to jot, as there is to a lot of paranormal phenomena, but the implications of these irregularities for ontology and their relationship with the seemingly causal world on which all our lives are based are massive. She goes on to say, now it is agreed that people do indeed suffer bouts of absent-mindedness, even in very rare cases, dissociative identity disorder, and it may well be that 9 times out of 10 such incidents have to be attributed to inattention. To qualify as true jot, there must be some degree of certainty about details that are not usually committed to conscious memory, and as most incidents happen unwitnessed and without attendant circumstances that make a normal explanation impossible, they have to be dismissed as just one of those other things, memory lapse, absent mind, third-party interference, etc., rather than jot. Next, she goes on to define jot, and I have to say I do like these different words. Jot is a collective word like fish, and like it can also be used as singular or plural, an all-purpose word. To define it precisely, jot is a spatial discontinuity. It comes in two varieties, one much more familiar than the other. This is the common jottle, which is an unwitnessed displacement.
In rare cases, the article is seen to disappear from sight or is felt to elude the grasp, but its displacement to another location is not witnessed, as in a poltergeist movement. The other form of jot, designated an odd jot, is difficult to define, and while it may involve some degree of relocation, relocation is not its principal feature. Its character will become clearer when examples are given. First, we take a close look at the more familiar jottle, which takes six distinguishable forms. They may be defined with various degrees of precision, but the following are reasonably clear. Walkabout. An article disappears from the place where it was known to have been and is found in another place. Turnip. A known article from an uncertain location appears in a place where it is known not to have been before it was found there. Turnip is like walkabout, but the article's take-off position, if known at all, relies on memory, not on recent observation. Comeback. An article disappears from the place where it was known to have been and later is found back in that same place. This could be a variant of walkabout, and in some cases the jottle might be classed as either. Flyaway. An article disappears from the place where it was known to have been and is never seen again. Note, a flyaway could mature into a walkabout, a comeback, or a trade-in. Flyaway may be known to some readers as the disappearing object phenomenon, or DOP. Windfall. An article of unknown origin appears in a place where it could not have been before it was found there. Note, this could be someone else's flyaway. Trade-in. An article disappears from a place where it was known to have been, and a different but similar article of unknown origin appears in approximately the same location. Note, this associates flyaway with windfall. Deserving a special mention, though not forming a class of one of its own, is a case, the last one to be cited, in which a windfall document was the subject of a flyaway. Fortunately, it provided some useful information before departing, reassuring the jottler of its reality and her own grounding in it. And here, a rather opaque definition of odd jot. Odd jot, a material irregularity. I'm going to read out some of the more interesting and fun vanishing objects cases listed by Mary Rose Barrington in her book Jot, and then we'll skip to the end and see what she says she thinks is the explanation for it. So, the first one is the walkabout dressing gown. A disconcerted jottler told how she entered the bathroom, closed and locked the door, and hung her dressing gown on the back of the door. After emerging from the shower, the dressing gown was gone. She found it eventually lying at the foot of the stairs. There is something particularly startling about the passage of matter through matter, whether a small metal bracket or a closed door, when it happens within a very short frame of time. Walkabout frequently involves the relocation of articles, or into or from a closed cupboard or box, or from one room to another, or indeed one country to another. But with the passage of time, this is less unsettling, because in the reserves of the mind, there always lurks the possibility that somehow or other, the jottling arrived at its end location by means of some explainable passage.
Now, let's have a listen to some individual cases listed by Mary Rose Barrington in her book. The first is the case of the walkabout dressing gown. Poltergeist outbreaks and jottles seem both prone to strike victims when they are in bathrooms, and hence in a vulnerable situation such as a state of undress. A disconcerted jottler told how she entered the bathroom, closed and locked the door, and hung her dressing gown on the back of the door. After emerging from the shower, the dressing gown was gone. She found it eventually lying at the foot of the stairs. The next is A Tale of Two Apples, or maybe one. To lose one thing and then find something similar, as if some rather simple-minded fourth-dimensional entity were trying to pass off the substitute as the real thing, seems an absurdity too far, and yet some narratives look just like that. In most cases, the jottler is worse off by the transaction, and that was certainly the case in the late Dr. Alan Mayne's tale of Two Apples. The incidents reported here occurred while I was living and working in Oxford, sometime during the period 1956 to 1959. Regrettably, I did not make a written record of them at the time, so that I do not recall the precise dates. The first incident occurred in my bed sitting room at 82 Divinity Road, Oxford. One evening, I picked up a pale green apple with the intention of eating it. It slipped out of my hand and I heard it plop on the floor. However, any attempts to find it were totally unsuccessful. I took the obvious precaution of looking all around the room to see where it had bounced, but I could find it nowhere. This seemed to me like a definite disappearance, as it was verified by the fact that the apple did not turn up later on, nor was there any smell of decaying apple. In the second incident, considerably later, I was having dinner with my friend Dr. Winifred Lation, retired physicist who used to be head physics teacher at the London School of Medicine for Women, which later became the Royal Free Hospital School of Medicine. She was thus well trained for careful observation and not in any way given to fanciful explanations, though she was open-minded about the existence of psychic phenomena. We were sitting in her kitchen and had just about finished our meal when a small, wizened green apple suddenly dropped onto my plate. "Could it be a poltergeist?" Dr. Lation exclaimed, half-humorously. Though it could just possibly have been conveyed from her apple orchard over 100 feet away in her garden, this explanation seemed far-fetched, as the route would have been devious. AJM also notes that his first personal computer happened to be not only an apple, but an apple too. In further discussions, he volunteered that the kitchen window was open at the top, but that if the windfall apple had entered via the window, thrown by a person unknown, then the line of flight would not have allowed it to descend onto his plate, nor to descend so peacefully as to remain on the plate. It could possibly have jottled through the window, the usual laws of motion not applying to jot, but its flight would probably have attracted some notice. This next one reminds me of my experience. Two not very nearly new towels. This is windfall. In my bathroom, the boiler is boxed in, and on top are three shelves where I keep towels and bed linen. Some time ago, suddenly a pale blue towel appeared on one of the shelves, a rather tatty one. When I asked my cleaning lady, she was quite hurt. "No, of course not. I wouldn't dream of bringing it here. It is just good for throwing away." And my friend said, "Why should I bring you towels? You have already more than you need." I had given her three a little while ago. Then a pink one appeared, roughly the same size, but obviously not of the same pattern.
How bizarre. Next, the case of the pocket knife. The informant was cutting a plant stem when his knife seemed to be taken out of his hand. He searched for it very thoroughly several times, cutting the plants in that area back to the bare earth, but eventually he gave up. Returning on impulse about a month later, he saw his knife lying conspicuously on the earth in the place where it had left his hand. And finally, the case of the kidnapped thriller. Before going to bed, I started a book by Dick Francis to unwind. When I came back from the toilet, the book wasn't there anymore. This happened at our daughter's house, and when they moved, against their expectations, the book didn't turn up. Again, years later, in search of candles, I put my hand in the bag with Christmas ornaments. Out came the book. Not in Amsterdam, but at our house in Amersfoort, 50 kilometres away. Explanations can usually be devised, but it is not easy to find a plausible way for a book to vanish from a bedroom in one house and be found in a bag of candles in another house, apparently unobserved by anyone at any stage. I very much recommend getting this book. It's really, really interesting. And it actually gives you a nice sense of, well, at least it's not just me that's mad. Okay, so now we're going to get into the reason for Jot, according to Mary Rose Barrington. Now, either you've snoozed off into a happy slumber while you're listening to this podcast, or you've been hooked, and now is the point where you want to find out what someone really thinks is happening here. So, either way, here we go. Some of the clearest evidence for these assertions about the nature of things is furnished, of course, by the trivial annoyances of Jot. The article disappears, and it disappears as a unit, something that is a coherent mental concept. We do not find that a tabletop has disappeared, leaving four legs supporting nothing, or that the legs have left an unsupported table. A vanished matchbox will not leave a little heap of matches behind because it was conceived in the mind as a box of matches. Items in the realm of physics are assemblies of physical properties, not meaningful units, but the mind, which is what matters, conceptualizes and materializes this collection of particles as a unit that must be present or absent as a whole. The next question that arises is how this unit ceases to manifest and why it should do so. We've started on a clarification by jettisoning the notion of disappearance and boldly substituting deactualization. We are not dealing with failure to see something that is really there, but with an article that ceases to exist in a tangible, perceptible state. The proposed explanation of this phenomenon is guaranteed to inflame physicists, especially those with a rooted prejudice against psychic phenomena, and it may indeed produce a mild shudder from those more sympathetic. For it is always infuriating when someone from outside a discipline uses the principles of the discipline in a way that was not intended by the specialists forming those principles. And it is just as infuriating when scientific pontificators who know nothing about psychical research make confident assertions about its validity as if they knew what they were talking about. So, expecting protests that it doesn't work like that, here is her vision of actualization in the light of modern or fairly modern physics as explained by experts to people like her in paperbacks and television presentations. Thank you.
Matter, it seems, can exist in the form of particles or in the form of waves, which I understand to be vibrations. According to the fairly widely accepted Copenhagen school of thought, matter does not take particle form unless it is observed, whether by senses or sensors, and when it is not being observed, it lapses into vibrational form. The Copenhagen school has given the explanation: if for some reason my unconscious powers of observation have decided that it would be advantageous, with some anxiety of which I may not be aware, for me not to observe my keys, which I conceptualise as a coherent unit, they deactualise as a unit from particle form to vibrational form. Articles placed with deliberation usually remain stable, and those that come and go are typically articles set down on automatic pilot in their usual place, so that the prospective jotler does not need to concentrate on the simple task of putting the keys or glasses where they belong. Sometimes, indeed, they absent-mindedly put them down in the wrong place, but however absent-minded, I don't see them taking their appointment book to the bottom of the garden and depositing it in long grass, or pulling aside a table, opening a cupboard, thrusting a washing-up bowl in behind other appliances, closing the cupboard and replacing the table. We've moved from the general concept of dematerialisation to the more specific Copenhagen-style deactualisation, but it behooves us now to turn attention to actualisation. Before things can be deactualised, they have to be there. Things exist in the real world because the entities experiencing them observe them and actualise them in particulate form. In other words, make them part of our reality. So, Jot starts from a position where things exist in the real world in particulate form, and it manifests most typically when the Jotler's unconscious either causes or allows an item to deactualise. Details of our environment may, in fact, be absent frequently, but we become aware of it when we happen to want something that has lapsed into potentiality. When the desired item is sought and the unconscious thinks it appropriate to restore the item, it is reactualised. And if I'm efficient, it comes back quite soon in the original place as a comeback. If I'm unskillful at performing this restoration, it may be reactualised by me when I'm in another place, and sometimes a long time after the item went missing. If I'm even more inept, I may import an article that resembles the missing item in character or function, but is not the same item, and then I experience a trade-in. So, I guess what she's really saying in short is that unless we see something, it doesn't actually need to exist. And it's only when we see things that they actually exist as particles, and that we can basically will them to appear, disappear, and reappear. Now, I'm not sure about what I think about that. I suppose it's possible, although it does seem quite far-fetched. But, to be honest, I don't have any better explanation. I'd be really interested to hear what you think about it. Do you agree with her? Or do you think it's to do with spirit entities, with the more human side of science or physics? Why don't you send me an email or a voicemail message and let me know? We've listened to the theories about Jot, just one of those things. But how about some different theories on the same thing, DOP, disappearing object phenomena?
I came across this piece on the liveabout.com website by Stephen Wagner, and he was trying to find a few other explanations. He came up with the obvious absent-mindedness, or someone borrowing items. Then he moved on to the idea of the poltergeist, the noisy spirit. When disappearing object phenomena, DOP, occurs, a lot of people blame a poltergeist, if only half seriously. A poltergeist is usually defined as a mischievous or noisy spirit. Poltergeist activity often includes unexplained noises, music, smells, and movement of objects, so that when the hairbrush disappears, some people think it must be because of a poltergeist. And some might have more reason to think a poltergeist is responsible than others. This might be the case if the missing hairbrush incident is not an isolated one. If the person finds that objects are disappearing or being moved on a regular basis, for example, or if there are other phenomena, such as unexplained smells and noises, that the person can associate with the missing item. Even though it seems likely to the person that a spirit or poltergeist is responsible, it's still unknown what a poltergeist really is, except that we know it seems to be an intelligent form of energy. But science can still not explain the poltergeist phenomena. So, how about this theory? Temporary invisibility. Let's see if you can get your mind around this one. It was the night of my freshman homecoming. I'd bought 3 dresses a few days or so before and was planning on wearing the simple black and white one. Nothing fancy. I went to my closet an hour or so before the dance to get ready, and the dress wasn't in my closet. Nowhere in my closet. Not even with the other 2 dresses. My mum and I searched everywhere but still couldn't find it. My mum finally said I had to wear one of the others, and so I chose one of the white ones. A day or so after the dance, I went to my closet to find a shirt, and the black and white dress I was going to wear to the dance was the first piece of clothing on the rack. Go figure. What's the explanation for that? There's no scientific hypothesis that allows for an object to become invisible and then after a time become visible again. Yet that is exactly the effect, as perceived by some DOP experiencers. And if this temporary invisibility is somehow possible, it raises many questions. How or for what reason does a specific object become invisible? Does the effect have something to do with the person's regular or intimate use of the object? Is it a physical effect produced by some unknown mechanics of the human mind? Sometimes this invisibility can be a strictly psychological phenomena. The object is really there, but our attention is so diverted that we literally don't see it. It's an example of selective attention. Moving on to the dimensional shift. Similar, but not the same as the idea explained by the jotter. I looked everywhere for my car keys. I looked everywhere in the kitchen and living room, just everywhere. Then all of a sudden I heard keys drop in the kitchen. I went in and there they were on the ground. The existence of dimensions other than the 3 we jostle around in every day is theorised by science, sometimes referred to as other planes of existence by the more spiritually minded. These dimensions are sometimes thought of as places where spirits and other forms of reality might reside. Could the temporary invisibility or movement of objects be explained by their slipping into another dimension? Is some kind of dimensional or temporal shift to blame? It's a pretty interesting notion, but then a genuine DOP experience is hard to explain. Even when the rational explanations are ruled out, there are still enough intriguing DOP experiences remaining to remind us that there's much more to this life, this reality, than we are currently aware. And here is one more possibility. The first thing I think of when DOP happens is fairies, since one of the places I lived in had some. They tended to take things and then give them back later. One time, in full view of a number of people, I was getting ready to leave the apartment, and since I was always in the habit of misplacing my keys, no fairies needed. I had taken to hanging them on a heavy biker wallet chain and had some jangly brass key tags to boot. They weren't where I'd put them, and I had to leave. So I hollered, "Okay, guys, this isn't funny. I need my keys now." My friends were watching as they materialised out of thin air above the shelf I had my phone answering machine on and clattered to the shelf. So, maybe if we try talking to the thin air from which our vanishing objects have disappeared, if we're lucky, someone might be listening and they might return them. And that's all we've got time for this week. I hope you've enjoyed our podcast tonight. Next week, I'm doing an interview with Charmaine Ryan from the Bigfoot Research Team UK, and she tells us of her personal experience, so don't forget to tune in next week. Also, if you have your own experiences to report, please email them to me at paranormalorwhatpodcast@outlook.com. Or drop me in a voice message at anchor.fm/paranormalorwhatpodcast/messages. I'd love to hear your stories. Okay, well, it's time for us all to drift off into the land of Nod. Don't have any nightmares. Good night, sleep tight, mind the bed bugs don't bite. And don't forget, together we can figure it out. Good night.